Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1 p.m. and that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 24th. Well, 10-year yields hit a new all-time low in here today, down to 1.36%, and that's a significant breakdown. 1.5% has been an area of support for the yield since 2012. Now that is being brought into question. Obviously, the number one, I think, concern of U.S. investors at this stage is, well, is it likely that the USA is going to move into a negative yield environment in just the way, same way that both Japan and Europe did? Well, it is unlikely that's going to happen unless the Fed has to cut interest rates to the bone. But they're certainly pricing in the potential that the Federal Reserve is going to have to cut interest rates again. Well, obviously, the response that we're seeing in the bond market is very much tied to what's going on in terms of the coronavirus. There was news today from the WHO that the only drug that has any hope of efficacy in terms of treating the coronavirus is remdesivir, and that's produced by Gilead Sciences. They shared the intellectual property relating to it with China, who are now mass producing the drug, and the share has popped on the upside here. It completed a year-long base formation about 3 weeks ago. It's improving upon that performance now. If it's the only drug in the market that has any hope of tackling this disease, then obviously that is beneficial for the company. And the price is really not that far off, 50% down from the peak put in 2015. So I think there is scope here for additional upside. Meanwhile, we had a really quite pronounced decline right across markets in here today. A couple hours ago, the Dow Jones was down less than 900 points. It's closing out the day on the low, down in excess of 1,000 points, 3.5%. But the move that we saw in Italy, where we have a significant breakout of the coronavirus, down 5.43%. That's really quite pronounced. So I think the question that investors are going to be asking is, well, we've done frightfully well over the course of the last few months. We've had a spectacular advance, really, since October of last year. I think it's worth highlighting that it was back in August and October of last year that we started to see support from the region of the moving average starting to come through. And the S&P 500 now has pulled back by approximately 200 points in the course of the last week. And it's in the region of the lows put in over the course of this year. It's pretty much erased the advance for the entire year so far. But I do think that that's just a number relative to the advance that we had put in between August and the peak in February. I think it is likely that we are back in a mean reversion type of environment. It's likely that we're going to come back and test the region of the trend mean. But there will, of course, be some people that are thinking, well, this is certainly a dip in the market, so I should be buying the dip. And they're going to be supported in that view by the spread between the yield on the 10-year yield bond and the yield on the S&P 500, because it's almost at 50 basis points in favor of equities right now. And this range that has persisted now since 2011 has, I think, been the clearest way that investors have been angled towards the market. When the spread is at the lower side of the range, then the yield investor will be looking at equities. So that's what we've seen. We've seen equities were a buy back in 2012 and 13, again in 2016, and they were a buy when it got down to this 50 basis point level back in August through October of last year. Well, we've in fact exceeded the lows put in August and October. the handy thing from a just a chart reading perspective back then was that the index was right in the region of the trend mean. So you had the yield and the mean reversion arguments on your side. Well, today you don't quite have the mean reversion on your side just yet. This is just one day on the downside, and it's certainly a big day on the downside, and we still have some room in which to consolidate. But I think it's also worth highlighting that when we look at something like the S&P 500, then it is still really quite overextended relative to the trend mean, and the trend mean pretty much coincides with the previous peaks. So I think it's the 3000 level is the big area of potential resistance. The market could quite easily pull back by 10% and still be in the region of the trend mean. And I think that that is perhaps the base case at this stage. Now, the other point, of course, is that the response of central banks and governments to the threat represented by the coronavirus is going to ramp up. And the unique characteristics of the virus mean that it is quite likely we have not yet seen the full extent of the number of cases. I think when we look at the fact that there are exponential rises in the number of cases in South Korea and Italy and in Iran, then those are rather sporadic in terms of their relationship to China. But the reality is that there are people moving in and out of China all the time, and that is still true today. All flights have been cancelled by U.S. carriers from between the USA and China, and anyone arriving in the USA needs to come through certain ports of entry, and then they're going to be quarantined. But that those kinds of strictures have not been imposed anywhere else. And despite the fact that upwards of 1 million flights have been cancelled in and out of China, there are still approximately 800,000 people in and out of China on a daily basis. And that's a lot. And there's no way to know how many of them are infected, because we don't have a reliable testing regime. Well, that virtually ensures that this is going to be a difficult and expensive and time-consuming problem that needs to be contained. And that is going to require money. So we're going to have to see a significant source of additional stimulus coming through. And ground zero for that stimulus is China. And when we look at the CSI 300, it has completely unwound the decline before the Chinese New Year holiday. Now the question is, what happens from here? It's right at the upper side of the range that's persisted for the last 12 months. This is clearly evidence of some support coming through from government agencies. The renminbi has been under pressure, and I suspect that that is likely to persist. The one thing that we can certainly say is that gold prices are really quite firm, and despite the fact that gold did not hold all of its advance in here today, it was still up $17. I think what's more important right now in terms of gold is the performance of the gold shares, and GDX has completed its base formation. It is now trading above the $30 area. Now, it wasn't quite able to hold all of its advance in here today, but it did finish in positive territory. What we are, I think, what the gold market is susceptible to is the willingness of investors to buy the dip in equities and to discount the issues that are arising as a result of the coronavirus. When we think about what is the end game for this, well, the good news is that the vast majority of people who get the coronavirus have a mild infection, and the severe infection rate does tend to be less pronounced in healthier people. It obviously does represent a significant challenge for more elderly people. Then, of course, there is the potential that we may be getting some form of treatment from Gilead Sciences, so that is a potential positive. Quite how quickly they can make that available is a question, and how effective it is another question. But the logical question, I think, solution is, if we're rather than going to be problem focused, be solution focused, is that there's going to be significant assistance provided by governments. That's likely to be a global phenomenon, and as a result, then we are likely to see significant liquidity entering the market. That should be beneficial for gold prices because it will effectively devalue currencies. What I think was interesting in here today was that the euro was slightly firmer over the last couple of days. I think that's some evidence of carry trades being unwound, and the persistent weakness of the euro over the last couple of weeks has been evidence of carry trades being put on, carry trades getting taken off. That does, I think, confirm the view that this is a risk-on, risk-off environment. We are now in risk-off. The most likely scenario is we're going to get a reversion towards the mean. That's particularly true of the larger cap indices, like the Nasdaq, for example, which is due a consolidation. I think, based on today's evidence, I think it is reasonable to conclude that we are now getting that consolidation. This is the biggest drawback we've seen since at least July, but I think on just on a one-day basis, we've got to go significantly further back than that. We still have a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean, so I think it is quite likely we're going to get at least that a process of mean reversion coming through in some of the most overextended trends. Now, when, for example, we look at some of those very overextended trends, well, Tesla, for example, was down about $60 in here today, and that was following a really quite impressive advance over the course of last week. But I do think that we're due consolidation here, that every other time Tesla has announced big capital infrastructure plans, it has ranged in a volatile manner. I don't think anything has happened to question that conclusion. So I think it is more than likely that we're going to see consolidation coming through for Tesla. Then when we look at Shopify, it really rallied spectacularly well in the first half of 2019. It pulled back to the region of the trend mean, and then in November it took off again and doubled. Well, now it has started to pull back again, and we have seen at least tacit evidence of support coming through following a $100 pullback over the course of the last 2 weeks. But it's still really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. And one of the most important points I think is really relevant for Shopify is that it provides e-commerce solutions for small businesses more often than not. And how easily are small businesses going to be able to source their inventory if we have a more prolonged period of economic malaise in China? I think that's one of the characteristics that hasn't really been examined by the bulls in here, and it would suggest that Shopify is not entirely insulated from the potential for some additional consolidation. And it is worth considering that its estimated PE is 1600, so it's not exactly a cheap share. Then, when we think about Virgin Galactic, well, Virgin Galactic was in fact in positive territory in here today and up about 22 cents. So it completely unwound the pullback that it had posted. But again, this is a share that is rising on the just a straight bet that we're going to have massive sources of additional liquidity hitting the market. The VIX index popped on the upside to 25, and we can also see that 25 has been an area of resistance over the course of the last couple of years, but generally spikes above this level have been coincident with important market bottoms, and it hasn't quite done that yet. So I do think it is more likely than not we're going to see additional consolidation. The oil price was down in a dynamic manner in here today, but off the lows. Now, the big question from a bull's perspective is whether this is a higher reaction low or whether we are likely to see additional weakness. This is all going to be down to just how much stimulus we get. The reality is that anywhere that there is a threat of the coronavirus, there is going to be a threat to consumer sentiment. My daughter was at a birthday party yesterday. All the parents wanted to talk about was the coronavirus. So this, I think, is already affecting consumer sentiment. It's just that it hasn't affected consumer behavior yet. And the wider it spreads, the more of an effect it's going to have. Well, rather than thinking about Shopify, the kinds of companies that provide work-at-home solutions are probably also going to do reasonably well. And Slack Technologies is one of those. Personally, I've been rather at a loss for why anybody would want additional email services, but having done a bit more research into it, Slack does a bit more than that. And it is the workflow management and remote working facilities that really is their hallmark. And the share has rallied rather well over the course of the last month. So it's not like there aren't opportunities in here, but they have to be viewed in terms of the lens of just what is likely to benefit in an environment where we're going to get a transition or a rotation. Now, I think utilities are obviously something that provides an attractive yield, but it is really quite overextended, and that does suggest that we're going to get some consolidation in these yield plays. Then, when we look at the chart for Procter and Gamble, we've had some failed upside breaks. We've had a loss of momentum following an accelerated advance, and I think that this is a share that is hanging out really for some consolidation. It's also worth considering that the yield is approximately 2.42%, and these kinds of dividend-paying companies, they generally tend to find support around the 3% yield level. And this is the lowest yield we've seen on the share in a really quite prolonged period of time. So that does suggest that there is risk in some of these companies, but most particularly because we've already had a very impressive advance. Well, then when we look at some of the other accelerated trends, Palladium was down in a pretty dynamic manner in here today, but it is still holding the $2,500 area, and so far it is holding the upper side of the underlying trading range, and one of the clear hallmarks of its uptrend has been the complete absence of failed upside breaks. So as long as it is holding the $2,500 area, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. I think palladium prices are unlikely to fall below at $950, but they have been pulling back over the course of the last three sessions. This, to me at least, continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the psychological $1,000 area. Silver prices are still in a ranging environment, but still at the upper side of its range, up 12 cents in here today, not quite yet able to sustain a move above the $19 area. So we're in, I think, a more corrective environment. I think that is the clear message here. And investors are betting that we are going to see a significant source of additional new money coming through. Until we do, then the quantity of bonds with a negative yield is likely to continue to trend higher. It is worth, I think, reminding ourselves that this figure of 13.7 trillion was last updated on Thursday. So it's likely to be significantly above 14 trillion based upon the compression in yields that we saw in the USA today and in Europe. The Bund yield, for example, is down to minus 48 basis points, and it has got a downward trajectory. What that pretty much ensures is that we're going to get some form of stimulus coming through. It's really only a question of how long that takes. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.